All right, and welcome to the oathealth.com Heart Health Podcast. I'm your host, Matt, joined this morning by Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
And thanks for joining us for episode number 8, July 7, 2009. We have all the notes and support material for everything we're going to discuss today at oathealth.com/blog/podcasts. In today's episode, we'll actually go back to our weekly health challenge and just look at our... Is this our second or third challenge, Joe?
It's our second challenge.
Second challenge. So
we'll be our third today.
Right. We'll look at the hydrogenated oils. We're just trying to see what showed up in our food last week, and then we'll bring up the next challenge. So on our main topic this week, we'll look at the ATP3 report that's actually published by the National Cholesterol Education Program. Just see what it has to say about approaches to lowering cholesterol.
Yeah, ATP3, that doesn't sound real exciting, and it can be that kind of document. It's really long, it's really drawn out, but it gives you it's guidance for practitioners, gives a lot of practical insights, even for patients. And so we really want to get into that, though, because that's where the established research is kind of put together, and also is the guidance for how we should give recommendations about cholesterol and how to deal with cholesterol. So it's really important. It decides kind of the way of cholesterol in America. So it's good to kind of delve in. What is it actually saying, though? You know, what is it actually coming across and saying?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of helpful information. I think the more that we get into that, the more we realize there's practical and actionable advice in there.
Right.
So in the news, we'll actually look at the Wall Street Journal. That's not something we quote all the time, but it's nice to have some mainstream news. And there's an article entitled, "Have You Had Your Collagen Marshmallows Today?" This sounds absolutely disgusting.
And it doesn't make too much sense by the title there. But I think it gets down to some of what we've been talking about. We've been talking a lot about processed foods.
Right.
And there's upside and downside. And this can be another upside. You know, the article here is talking about fortifying foods with, you know, nutrients maybe or superfoods.
Yeah, added back in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But what the downside is, though, once again, kind of watching both, is you know, we could start off with pretty much cardboard and add some nutrients to it and try to, like, feed it to people. So it's a balance.
That's the kind of tongue-in-cheek nature of the title, is
right,
that we can add things to food you wouldn't expect. And then in the research section, we'll actually look at the Journal of the American Medical Association from a July 2003 archive, that the portfolio diet lowered LDL compared to a statin medication plus a controlled diet.
Yeah, and I think this is a kind of research article people really want to believe is out there. And I think that a lot of our listeners would really like to know that there has been a diet compiled, mm-hmm, that somebody used, and it actually lowered LDL cholesterol similar to that of a statin and much more significant than the control group. So it was actually... The diet itself was significant, and it really went head-to-head with this statin drug.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people want to know that's possible.
I'm really curious because this article almost suggests that, you know, it's a lot more in control in terms of our cholesterol and health than we think it is.
Right.
All right, so let's get started with today's podcast. Okay, so we're back, and I want to jump right into it today. We got a lot of things to cover. Let's go into this news article that we found, June 16th, Wall Street Journal. This is middle of the week, not a weekend edition, nothing special, but at the same time, this article entitled, "Have You Had Your Collagen Marshmallows Today?" was interesting. And I just want to say, besides the title being weird, the picture has... is it a cup of orange juice?
With a fish in it.
With a fish in it, meaning like omega-3. And it's just, I can't even look at it. It's
that
really
does
gross.
Not make me feel good.
No.
Not but what you want to think about.
There was a lot that you found in the article. I just dropped this off and I said, you didn't have to share this today. But I see a lot of green highlights on the page.
Yeah, it really was a good article as far as looking at some of the things we've been looking at as far as processed foods and whole foods. And this is one of those things that, you know, from my standpoint, we're not getting enough omega-3s in our diet. We're not getting enough probiotics in our diet. We need to get those things in. And, you know, whole foods really are the best way to do it. But from a practical standpoint, especially in transition, if you're transitioning into a whole food diet or looking at some of these health issues for the first time, Fortified foods really can meet some of your needs, and it's right. similar to what would be for supplementation or taking a dietary supplement. You want to watch your amounts and see how much is actually in there compared to what you would take in a pill or something like that. Other forms, there's different things you look at. But at the end of the day, this can be a good way to do it, as long as we're not overdosing. You know, we can over-fortify foods and end up taking supplements and fortified foods and getting too much.
And this fortified foods word, I mean, as much as it sounds foreign, it's really something you see all the time. You're walking around, especially like the juice aisle, and you see that there's omega-3s or antioxidants or whatever.
And our challenge 2 or 3 weeks ago was for white flour. And white flour is already enriched. We really can call that a fortified food, fortified with B vitamins. Mm-hmm. But this might really highlight what we're trying to talk about today, is the fact that we made it. We took a food, took a lot of its beneficial properties out,
and then put some synthetic stuff in. We took a food, we made it affordable, convenient.
Right.
It can last a while. So we know we made some trade-offs, and we know some things need to be added back in. So then fortified means then they put back some key elements of nutrition, whether that's vitamins or what have you.
Right.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're trying to... What's happening today is fortified is being put more on the front of the label, mm-hmm. saying, hey, look what we
that's
did
exciting.
To it. Yeah, and so that's good. And so, once again, yeah, it's not really a foreign concept. This has been done for a long time.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing some more of these maybe superfoods or omega-3s or probiotics, some of these things that are a little bit more of a buzz, but really have some significant benefits to health. And I think especially can be beneficial when they're actually foods.
Right.
When they're real foods being put back into something that's been processed. It's not as great for me when they put synthetic nutrients back in mm-hmm. and call that fortification. It's not as exciting to me. But really, at the end of the day, you want to be looking at what am I eating? Still, what is the food I'm eating? Is there food in my food? And what are the first ingredients?
Right.
Not necessarily the last ingredient that they fortified a little bit, but what are the first ingredients? And if it's, highly processed flours, highly processed oils, high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated oils, some of these things that we're better off avoiding altogether anyways. Mm-hmm. Let's just really look at it for what it is. Is there food in there or is there not? And then take it as it is. And then once again, amounts are going to matter. If you want a significant amount of, omega-3s or probiotics, just make sure there's a significant amount in there for what they're saying.
So to me, this article was interesting. The reason I dropped it off to you, Joe, is that there's not really a line, but definitely a discussion on both sides of the line of, what does whole food do versus if we process food, what happens? And then lastly, if we have to process food, is there a way to make sure the vitamins and the nutrients are there? So they really kind of, it was fairly objective and covered the spectrum of topics.
Right, and what I really liked is they had some good quotes here. Like you said, I highlighted a lot out of this one. But, really noticing that enhanced foods aren't always as impressive as the label may suggest, especially when compared with whole foods. That's really what we're looking at is how much actual food is still in there. And fortification adds some nutrients back, as they notice here. But it still doesn't compare to what a whole food can be, and is just not necessarily as good. And something interesting they brought up here was about, we're trying to do some of these things to eat less calories, and maybe that's the goal of a fortified food, is to get some good nutrients in but have less calories. But we're noticing that some of the fortified foods can actually have more calories in them than whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
So like they make an example of broccoli, which could be like a cup of broccoli, it'll be about 30 calories, which is full of nutrients. As opposed to maybe a fortified juice, which could have up to 4 times the calories and not leave you feeling as full. And so that's really significant when we look at, how much are we going to eat per day and the calories we eat. If we're eating fortified foods, they have lots of calories. And, vegetables are a great example of a nutrient-dense food, not a lot of calories, mm-hmm. and can fill you up for the day.
Right.
And they bring up in this article, too, some of the issues with, wanting to make sure that you're not getting too much of a certain nutrient as well.
Right.
And so, yeah, really interesting stuff in here, and I really found it, really good stuff.
Yeah, so there's, like we always say, there's a trade-off when we're using something that's processed. We want to try to go to whole foods, but we realize, you have to make some decisions here and there, and so it's always best to know what is in your food, really, and what's it going to do for you.
Cardboard with some nutrients, not really going to do it for you. It's cheap, though. I mean, you can take some cardboard and put something on, then keep the price down, and it'll last for forever.
We'll leave that invention up to you, Joe, but hopefully we won't see that anytime soon. So then, I guess what you know, what I was most excited to talk about today was the research section, where you found an article from the Journal of American Medical Association, where they really compare a whole food diet with a statin plus a control diet.
Yeah, they call it the portfolio diet at this point. And it's it's just a combination of foods that we know are good for cholesterol levels, and putting them all together and putting somebody on a diet with that. Now, it doesn't mean that you could sustain a diet like this, maybe because the variety isn't as great, or maybe it's not your favorite foods. But I think what really is great about this is the possibility, just even the possibility that that you can lower your cholesterol just by using food. So there wasn't any supplementation with this diet. There wasn't anything spectacular about it, and we're going to look at this too, but there were still butter and eggs in the diet.
So you have people that are essentially, they are doing a diet in a way that they are being careful what they eat, and we're not going to go into what portfolio diet means here today. You can look that up, Google it, I'm sure you'll find lots of information. But so you have people that are doing some controlled and disciplined things, and you also have some people on some medication, and when they say controlled diet, then that means that they were also controlling what they eat when they were taking medication. But I guess, I'm kind of skeptical. Like, what kind of results could they really see? What did the research really show?
Yeah, so this is real significant results that they got from this study. We took 46 healthy, high cholesterol adults and fed them three different diets, one was for 1 month. And one of them was a diet low in saturated fat and whole grain products, which is the control group. So it was still low in saturated fat. It had, had whole grains, which are still significant. So they did some good things, low-fat dairy and some of those things. And then they took that diet, and then with that diet, that control diet, the second group, they added a statin, a low-dose statin to it. And then the third group, similar kind of makeup of the diet itself, but can completely change the components of the diet to contain more cholesterol-lowering portions. So what you found was, after the month, a 28.6% drop in LDL cholesterol from the portfolio diet. Obviously hugely significant. I mean, that's a huge number. Where the statin with the control diet, now it's still a statin plus adding a low saturated fat diet with it, got a 30.9% drop.
So we're not saying, oh, look at, if you don't take medication, then it works so much better. That's not what's being said, but rather that what we've proven over and over and over and over with the research we found is that you have a lot more control of your own health, especially your cholesterol, than you think you do, and at least as much as people who are taking the statins.
Yeah. And, they're really, at the end of the day, what they found was between, taking the statin and the diet, that the portfolio diet, there wasn't a significant difference between the results that were obtained for the LDL cholesterol and C-reactive protein. There's this tie between what can happen with a certain diet maybe and what can happen with a statin. But I think a lot of it comes down to each person taking a realistic view of what am I going to do. Now, some of the what has been talked about against the portfolio diet and why it may not be an effective long-term solution for people is because it's in some ways difficult for some people to follow. It's harder to kind of get a rhythm with it and stay on something like this. So it's really a realistic view, because in some cases, maybe the statin is the way to go at this time in this whatever juncture you're at. But to know that the possibility that I can make a change, I can include some of these things in my diet, and it can have a positive effect on statins or on cholesterol, really, I think,
doesn't this research, Joe, just show that it cuts both ways, that food can have an effect, whether that's positive or negative? And if we're not willing to really take a hard and close look at that, then we're shortchanging ourselves.
Right. Yeah, and kind of what we've been talking about with the health challenge as well is, the beginning of this health challenge is really awareness. And I think this is a lot of the first step. I think this is why we've been concentrating so much time on talking about diet and talking about our role in our cholesterol and in our heart disease, is because that can we can lose sight of that fairly quickly. And so, you know, let's just give you a quick rundown even of this portfolio diet, just so you have some idea of what were some of the components. Like Matt
sure,
said,
yeah.
Get on there and find out more about it, because it really was an exciting diet. But some of the components were soluble fiber from oats and other sources.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about that. Plant sterols from enriched margarine.
Mm-hmm.
Soy protein, almonds, okra, and eggplant. You know, as a vegetable, actually, they're higher in soluble fiber. So those combination of foods have been shown in some way to have effects for cholesterol. So they combined them all together,
right,
and continued people on a diet like that. Still containing, like I said, a little bit of butter and eggs once a week, I think is what it was. So it wasn't completely restrictive to say you can't touch, you know, don't ever eat kind of deal. But there was some of that in there. And actually, the portfolio diet was a little higher in fat, in saturated fat and dietary cholesterol compared to the control diet,
mm-hmm.
Which was kind of weird for me. You know, the control diet was actually more restrictive, and it only saw an 8% drop in cholesterol. This one, though, more targeted towards foods that are good at lowering cholesterol, 28.6% drop. So, yeah, really significant change.
But what stands out to me, Joe, is that, you know, even if you don't say the term portfolio diet, these are things that get talked about all the time. Maybe not okra and eggplant, but some of the other ones. And so if you hear words like okra and eggplant and you get scared and you say, well, that research is interesting, but what does it have to do with me? Right. You can just look around and you're going to see that these are common denominators. And the second thing that I take away is you talked about it being higher in fat. Well, but you're eating things in balance. I mean, right. I'm eating better overall, so my body has a more of a fighting chance.
Right.
And so, you know, I also want our listeners to go back and listen to some of the past podcasts where you've talked about our role over the last 100 years and food changes, and just really revisit that a little bit, because this just highlights that, you know, we do in fact have control over it.
Yeah.
But there's some other topics out there, some other studies rather, but that are more suggestive, like here, do this.
Right.
And that's where we want to talk about the ATP report.
Yeah, and this is actually a summary. So the government has put together at this point an advisory panel. It comes from the Natural Cholesterol Education Program that was set up by the government, the National Institute of Health. And so they wanted to know, okay, cholesterol is a huge issue in America. It obviously is affecting heart disease, which is the number one killer in America. Mm-hmm. How can we get some greater insight into it? And so they put together this adult treatment panel. This is the third one that's come out
mm-hmm.
So far. So this is the kind of the third revision. They've made some changes because we've learned some things over the years about what's really significant for affecting cholesterol levels. And, you know, it really is pretty amazing when you look at the details and look right into it, what are they actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what I'm hearing from people on the phone, you know, people throughout the years who have told me they talked to their doctor about their cholesterol issue,
right.
You get the impression that when you have high cholesterol, you know, and there are different ranges of what is high, and so mm-hmm. that's a different podcast
yeah.
altogether. But, you know, when you're in a high range from the doctor's standpoint, you know, it seems like people feel defeated right away, like they have to go on the statin. And I don't know if that's coming from the, you know, we have selective hearing a lot of times, I think, mm-hmm. when we go into a doctor's office and we hear what we want to. But I think some of that may come from both sides as well, not as proper communication to say, hey, you know what, wait, there's some role for you to play first. Let's get you in the right range and through more natural
this
means.
This report even talks about one of the terms I like best is partnering with your doctor.
Right.
And you have to understand, when I say you, I mean the listeners, have to understand that their doctor has a limited scope of what they can do for you. And prescribing medicine is their job, right? But they can't really go through your whole nutrition thing with you. But this report goes into that, and many doctors do know about this.
Right.
So knowing what this report says is just as important as seeing your doctor, finding out what your risk factors are, finding out if you're, you know, a good candidate for medication, but you still need to go home and do something. And that,
right.
to me, that's something I hear a lot is, like, my doctor said, prescribe statin right away. Well, because they're concerned that you're not going to go home and learn this stuff.
Right. But, or sometimes I think what happens as well is you hear somebody come home with that explanation. but you really talked to them a little bit, and they said, well, the doctor said go home for 3 months and try out diet and exercise to see if that can get it down.
Mm-hmm.
But when they weren't equipped to find out what do I do about that, it kind of bounced off them and said, well, you know, that's not really an option. It must be the statin. And so, yeah, I think both of those things are kind of happening together, is that, you know, from a medical system, we're not really laying out the groundwork to say, here's how to do this, or mm-hmm. here's some resources.
I mean, some doctors' offices are where they do have nutritionists and all those things, and hospitals, it's getting better.
Right.
But the point is, we realize that you're being introduced into an environment that's like a limited scope. They only can do so many things.
Right.
You need to know what to do. And it occurred to me this past week as we were preparing for this that you hear a lot about the components of what makes up a good diet, but then how do you do it? So we're going to talk about You're going to talk, Joe, about what's in the ATP report, which is a lot of the same stuff we've already talked about.
Right.
But then we're going to close this show with another weekly challenge, and it's all about becoming aware. So just listen to what this has to say and know that we'll just do one thing at a time, really.
Right. And I think that even the ATP 3 report, we're not going to be able to cover, you know, all of it today. And we're going to kind of continue to bring this very document up because it has so much in it. But really, one of the most important things I definitely want to highlight today is the fact that it really looks at therapeutic lifestyle changes, which would be considered diet, stopping smoking, exercise, mm-hmm. some of the things we've kind of talked about so far. And they state that the therapeutic lifestyle changes are the foundation of clinical primary prevention of coronary heart disease. So that's very significant. And we talk about primary, the word there, just to break that down, means you haven't had a heart attack yet. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to prevent your first heart attack. Really making these lifestyle changes are really the primary avenue for prevention for coronary heart disease, or the first one, at least. That's what should get the importance. And then everything else is kind of an add-on to that. And so, you know, we look at a lot of how it breaks down and how the recommendations come. Each doctor does get to make their own recommendations based on the research that's currently available. So there'll be an ATP4, and it may have some upgrades with some of what we've learned since this document from research and some of those things. So it kind of falls into each doctor's hands to interpret the ATP3 and the current research. But from a standpoint of the patient going into the room knowing that the dietary lifestyle changes, the along with exercise and the non-smoking and some mm-hmm. of those things really are the primary portion of that, the conversation with the doctor then can go a little better, maybe gaining some more guidance from the doctor, maybe even a referral to a dietitian or somebody that might be able to give you some more guidance in that direction. Can be some good conversation, some good open door conversation. Once again, like Matt was saying, one of the great things about what they're saying in the ATP3 is this partnership with the doctor mm-hmm. that needs to happen, and understanding the role that you have in that partnership can be very important.
Well, and Joe, one thing I wanted to add to that is one way to be a good partner is just know what questions to ask. And I think you could, you know, I'm not saying we're the one-stop shop here, but you could definitely learn a lot of questions just by listening to this podcast or to some of the past ones. But I've found in my own experiences that doctors are often surprised when they say, here's my my prescription or what I think you should do. And you say, well, what about this and what about that? And they're going, well, yeah, I'd love to tell you about that. I didn't think you were interested.
Right.
But you have to know the right questions, which requires a little bit of knowledge. And so I guess what are some of the things that we should highlight here?
Yeah, so to take away, you know, really kind of getting familiar with, like we're talking about earlier in this podcast, the portfolio diet, getting familiar with the TLC diet. The TLC diet is therapeutic lifestyle changes diet. That's the one laid out in the ATP3, becoming familiar with that. There's another diet we're going to talk about in the next few weeks here, the Mediterranean diet,
right,
which has also been shown to be beneficial for heart health. And so really getting an overall look at what are my dietary options. There's a lot of enjoyable foods that can be put into these diets. I love extra virgin olive oil, which is a huge part of the Mediterranean diet.
There's so much information now. I mean, if anything we have going for us now, it's information.
Right.
And you just can't go wrong. I mean, even eggplant and okra, I wanted to say earlier, I forgot. I'm sure there's a way to make that something that would appeal to me,
right?
A way to prepare it. So there's a lot out there,
right? So, so that's kind of really looking at some of those available options. Those three are great: the portfolio, the TLC, and the Mediterranean. Getting familiar with those. This is a long-term issue: heart mm-hmm. disease and cholesterol and all these issues. They're long-term. Getting in for the long-term, digging your heels a little bit, getting to know a little bit of this. Also, why we're looking at this weekly challenge as well, kind of give you a step-by-step process mm-hmm. of getting familiar with some of the components maybe of some of these diets. So,
Let's just jump into that. I think it's a good time.
Yeah.
We're talking, most of these challenges right now are about awareness, not so much about doing. We're not asking you to go to the gym or even eat okra yet. But, the main thing is just find out what's in our food. We talked about 4 to 5 foods earlier. So we've kind of looked at that and processed foods too. The first one we looked at refined flour,
right?
And then this past week, well, really a little more than a week, we've looked at whether trans fats were showing up in the diet. So that was our challenge last week.
Yeah, and I this is one of the biggies at my house. We've been label reading for a long time, so actually in my house, I wasn't surprised. Or taken off guard by something that was in the house. Took a little look around, even for the things I wasn't eating, just to kind of see, because it's a good time to revisit that issue in our house. And we really didn't find any. I was at my in-laws' house this last weekend,
mm-hmm.
and this is something I do want to highlight too, that I didn't go through all their cabinets and like really try to like find out what was all there, because I think a big part of making dietary changes and not getting overwhelmed is to say, hey, I'm going to control what I can when I can. And that's not to say we haven't had conversations at my in-laws' house and had some good conversations about heart health and diet and some of these things.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you known as the guy at the in-laws' house that, Joe probably won't eat that? Or
I don't know.
They become sensitive to it? Or?
Yeah, I think that's a good way. And anytime you're trying to, If you're really concerned about people and want to affect people positively, is to first off make different changes and make different choices.
So you're just talking about living by action, really.
Yeah, and some of those things. And then I'm usually more sheepish because they know what I do and because they know who I am. And so it's not like they need to, like I need to tell them anything about myself for them to know.
And you've definitely got way more figured out than I do, but just because we both, do the same thing, I get that all the time. Like, right. this will be good for you, Matt.
Right.
Well, no, that'll be okay by you. And you know what? You get shy about that, but really, like you said, it's helping people. And what do they say? The number one symptom of heart disease is you end up having a heart attack. So
actually, death.
Death. So
that's even worse.
So there's a reason to be concerned. And I guess what we're saying is, if you take these challenges, you become aware, it's going to affect you. But it's going to affect people around you, people that you really care about.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. So you were label reading at home.
Well, and this is good too. Actually, we sent Kelly out last week. She was actually
Kelly's an intern here in the office for the summer.
She's been researching some good heart healthy foods for us and trying to get
together a really exciting guide. But she actually went to the store.
That's gonna be great.
And I feel bad because we got her kicked out of one store for looking at the labels too much.
Yeah, that was good. It didn't shock me a lot of things she found. Obviously, a lot of hydrolyzed oils. I'm surprised. I mean, it's not surprising to me in some ways how much it's still out there mm-hmm. in some of the cereals, especially the sugary ones. I'd figure by this time it'd be out of a lot of those.
But her mission was to pick things that didn't have this in it, so we could put together a list for our listeners.
That are healthy, of the actual foods. But one thing she did find that was like, just kind of like, it really, one of those things that really irritates me. And, mm-hmm. and this is kind of the language I think that's confused us over the years, why we don't know where trans fats are at, why we're confused about this issue, is she found a popcorn. And on the label it says popcorn is a heart healthy snack. Perhaps. I mean, that could be a true thing. I don't know.
It kind of goes back to we've already had enough corn for the day and a whole bunch of other things. But it's light, I guess.
Well,
right?
Well, I feel like the statement may be true. Whether or not the statement is true is controversial. My feeling about this product and whether or not it's heart healthy, definitely not. Because she flips around the label, what does she see on the back? Partially hydrogenated oils. And that just... I don't know. That just drives me nuts. And I mean, if there's one way to affect your heart health negatively, from my standpoint, in your diet, is eat lots of trans fats.
Well, it's not just your standpoint. I mean, the research that we've highlighted that you can look up for yourself has highlighted, I mean, if you want to do one thing to change your cholesterol, it's stop taking these things in, because your body just can't keep up.
Yeah, and any of you that are out there that are, you know, been in the heart healthy arena for a while, been doing a lot of research, or at the doctor's office, you're hearing a lot more about this ratio issue, ratio of LDL mm-hmm. cholesterol to HDL cholesterol. And if you want to do something really bad for that ratio, trans fats. Increases LDL, decreases HDL. Right. Not good.
Affecting them both negatively. But, you know, popcorn, the reason you're sharing it, I assume, is that it really highlights it can be hiding in places you don't think.
And on the label, if you're just reading the front label,
the marketing,
you're trying to learn,
the marketing
on
the
front.
Yeah,
if you're trying to learn from the front label or any other label besides the nutrition and the ingredient label, they're going to be able to lie to you. So, I mean, it's one of those things. This is one of those issues we want people to be ahead of the curve on for sure. Don't wait for the government to take action to get trans fat out of food. Just get it out of your own food. Just refuse to do it.
I just have to say, we did a couple of things. You know, you're a label reader.
Right. Definitely.
I feel like we should make a t-shirt with that on it. I'm a label reader. But and then we had Kelly, our intern, go to the store and find the stuff that didn't have the food products that didn't have the oils in it. So we did that. But I also want to say my experience is more about, in the last week or so, is more about eating out. And there's some real things that you have to think about here. First of all, a couple of things that came up I wanted to share. There's one restaurant that's local. It has kind of the big chain feel, but it's definitely a local, so I won't even mention the name. It doesn't matter. But, you know, there's always the choice of the big, huge portion of fries. And so I have no idea how that was prepared, but I'm going to assume that it has some of the oils I don't want in it. Right. So I chose alternatives. So I did good that day, and some chicken. So that was good. We went to a place called Culver's. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh yeah.
And listen, I don't even really like it. My wife really likes it. But the fact is, they make no qualms about how they prepare the food, which is like names like Butter Burger.
Mm-hmm.
I
have to confess, if I eat out, that's the place I go to.
I really don't like it, but so I chose salad there that day. But it was basically, I guess what I'm highlighting is my choices came down to, I don't know what's in it. I didn't have a chance to read it. And some of these places, they do have the nutrition handouts,
right?
But it's like a big production to get it. And I have two little kids, and I don't have time to sit there and they go to the manager's office to get the nutrition thing. I did that at Subway even, which is supposed to be super healthy. And I want to say about Subway, you know, that came up again too. I don't know if there's trans fats or not, but again, just about the nutrition panel and reading what's in it.
Right.
They'll get on the window, they have the best possible sandwiches and salads and stuff to eat, but it omits almost all of them. So it's like you're not even eating those anyway.
Right.
And then the last thing was, you know, where I kind of gave in is, you know, Sunday night we were exhausted from the 4th of July weekend. We're going to cook out and actually have a nice healthy meal. I was like, I'm too tired. So, you know, we ended up eating at Arby's and I got fries. I have to say, you know, I gave in there. But I, you know, like 4 out of 5 times did pretty good. And so what I'm going to highlight with my own experience is not as much about label reading as something we've highlighted in the past, which is that a lot of the saturated fats are coming from eating out.
Right.
And so I tried my best. Like you said, deal with what you're being presented. It's not always about you know, I'm going to bring along rice cakes and therefore I won't eat fast food. But I have to make a commitment to myself in advance that I'm just going to say no to a lot of these things, because I don't know what's in it, or it's a pretty good guess that trans fats or some of the oils that we're trying to avoid, or even refined flour. Like, it's just,
right,
you know, go down the list of why I shouldn't eat it. And I don't even have to know why. I just have to say I'm going to choose something else. I still got to go to dinner with my family. I chose something else, but my experience definitely was not about what's in the pantry or the fridge, but more that these research articles were true for me, that we were on the go this past week a lot more than usual. We didn't get to eat at home. There's a lot of choices I had to make, and it was, you know, I don't want to be the weirdo that's like, oh, I can't go to our family get together because then I'll find trans fats. I mean, they're everywhere.
Right.
So I just had to make those choices. So that was my experience.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things you highlighted there is the fact that, you know, just awareness made a difference for you. Mm-hmm. Like the challenge wasn't to stop eating, but just awareness.
Yeah.
They did that for me too in the white challenge, the white flour challenge, just awareness. I was like, you know what? I'm being aware of it. I'm going to have to mark this down.
And if I didn't know the answer, then I just couldn't choose it.
Right.
That's not like, well, I don't know the answer, so I'm going to eat this.
Right. All right, so on this week's challenge.
Yes.
This is one of my. I consider myself a guru in this area to some degree, because I'm so adamant about it when I talk to people.
It's the Guru Joe challenge.
It's fiber in the diet, and this one's just so big for me because it's something that we've completely cut out. I think as a nation, we've really considered it not to be an important nutrient, and we're realizing it is now, and now to backtrack is very difficult.
So awareness, you're going to say, how much fiber are we getting?
Yeah, so this challenge is actually looking at the amount of fiber we get per day, which is going to be difficult, but this one is meant to be difficult in some ways, once again, to bring more awareness to how much fiber you might actually be getting.
Well, if you're surprised at how much... oils and refined flour you're finding, I think you'll be equally surprised in an opposite way
how little fiber.
And yeah. I've actually done this challenge already on my own. Every time we go to the store, I pick it up and try to see, and especially when they advertise fiber on the front,
right?
Like, you know, boost of fiber or whatever. It's just almost never true.
Right.
You know, and they even do this in juices, and it makes me angry because, again, I have small kids. But anyway, it makes me angry that this is not as true as it's oftentimes made out to be.
Right, and we're getting such low amounts now, comparatively to what we should be getting, that even a little bit of incremental changes in those ways aren't going to get us all the way there.
Fiber's kind of like water. You're supposed to get quite a bit. We don't. How much should we actually get?
Most health experts are going to agree 25 to 35 grams of fiber per day of what we should be getting.
How many does it show we're getting?
Typically, we're getting, you know, depending on what source you're looking at, 10 to 15.
So we're getting like half of what we need.
Less than half.
Maybe.
Of what we should be
and
getting.
And then the fiber sources count for something too.
Right. Yeah, you want a good mix as well of different types of fiber, insoluble and soluble. And so let's take a look, you know, just to help you out a little bit with this before we end up, just give you some insights into what you might find fiber in and to what degree. So if you're eating a packaged food, easy enough, flip it around, take a look at how much fiber is in there. That will give you an
There's
idea.
There's probably a couple of grams.
Yeah,
in almost anything.
Well, it depends. Right, you're saying though, like we're talking about earlier, fortification has changed some of that. So now we're seeing cereals with like 13 grams of fiber per serving, per 3/4 cup.
But then I always look at what else is in there. So you're getting a ton of sugar and a ton of sodium or whatever.
It can go either way. Once again, looking at that label though will help you guide you through the ones that are good and ones that are bad, because it is hard to tell from the front. But if you're eating just, you know, basic ingredients, so something like a fruit, if you're eating a small portion of fruits. And actually, berries in some ways have a little bit more than like an apple, depending on how much you're eating. So a small portion is going to be one, like a small apple is going to be one, let's say. And these are all guesstimations, so let's just take it for for what they are, and let's, you know, this is just going to help be some guidance. Medium fruit, 2 grams of fiber. A large fruit, 3 grams of fiber. If it's juice, probably doesn't have any fiber, like you're saying. Even when it's fortified, might not even make a gram.
Sometimes it's a little, but
yeah. But once again, reading that, but if it's real pulpy, it may have a gram. Go ahead and check it out. For grains, white flour, you know, like a slice of white bread, a gram. A slice of whole wheat flour, 3 grams. So that's a good example, 3 times the fiber. Pasta even gets more dramatic. I've seen regular white flour pasta being 1 gram, whole grain pasta being 5 grams, 5 times as much. Once again, highlighting that importance of whole grain. And so, you know, some of the different ones like cereals can vary. Check out the label. Nuts and seeds, 1 ounce, which is about the inside of your palm, or 2 tablespoons of peanut butter or some kind of nut butter. Mm-hmm. It's about 2 grams. Beans for 1/4 cup, a little 1/4 cup. If you ever seen 1/4 cup, pretty small.
Yeah.
Beans, 3 grams of fiber.
Which is why a lot of times, you know, they're talking about getting more beans. I mean, we're not talking about... you know, baked beans here. But we're talking about real bean sources.
Right.
That they have a ton of fiber in them.
Yeah, that's just a ton. So like you can see from your grains, your nuts and seeds, and your beans, that's really a huge portion of where you can get a good boost of fiber for the day. And beans is one of those things you can add into a salad, into your entree. Just put right in there. We're going to talk more about beans. Once again, one of my favorite additions to the American diet because it's so balancing. Vegetables, a little less than what you may expect. But if you have a good 1/2 cup of vegetables, 1/2 cup to 1 whole cup, you're going to see about 2 grams of fiber, depending on how fibrous. And vegetables, probably the group that's going to vary the most. But, you know, a good serving of vegetables, let's say 2 grams.
But you're also talking about whole foods. And so we're getting other things when it's not been refined anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, and some of that's not always known what exactly it is right. you're getting or it's doing for you. But if you're eating, so you, at the beginning of the list, you're talking about, you know, processed food, what fiber's in there, watch out for that. But then you're also suggesting at the end about eating more whole foods. So you're
yeah,
getting more
these
fiber
are the
and getting
ones,
other things.
These are the ones you may not, they don't have a label on them. So you can't slap that apple around and take a look. But,
right.
You know, this is just to give you some guidance in that way. Meats and dairies, not going to have any fiber.
Right.
That's once again, fortified, or if you're looking at packaged food or something like that, mm-hmm. It may have added something along the way. But meats and dairy won't really have any. So proportionally, and this is something that actually was highlighted in the portfolio diet.
Mm-hmm.
It was really higher in fiber,
right?
And it was higher in vegetable protein. And this is an odd thing that can happen in foods like beans, where you can have a large amount of protein
exactly.
along with a large amount of fiber. So some good stuff there.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, really we've highlighted kind of in a priority order things you could do in terms of our weekly challenge that could dramatically affect your general health, but specifically heart health. The refined flours, hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated, just as important. Those oils, watching out for those, and now adding fiber. So we've given you really three steps of awareness. If you just started doing those, you may well see the beginnings of change.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. So do that. Next week we'll come back together and see how we did. That's more than the time that we have for today. Hopefully you've learned a few things. So remember the weekly health challenge this upcoming week, and the podcast that we just produced is available on iTunes. You can subscribe to that for automatic updates each week. That's our show for today. Join us again next week for another episode of our Oat Health Heart Health podcast. Remember that the resources are all available on the website, oathealth.com/blog/podcasts. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.